Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Baltimore Sports Talk with your hosts Rob McQuay and Jeff Coles, also featuring Philly Jeff Dye. Now, get your game on.
All right, folks, it is a Trash Talk Tuesday here on MQFL Live, Baltimore Sports Talk on the blogtalkradio.com network. I'm Rob McQuay, your host. Jeff Coles is my co-host and wingman out in Mount Vernon, Ohio. And Jeff, yesterday was President's Day, so we took a little time off. And so today we got Trash Talk Tuesday. So folks, call in and give us some trash talk. I think we might be trash talking about the Philadelphia Phillies today a little bit, and but not the Baltimore Orioles, as Jeff, the pitchers and catchers will report to Sarasota, Florida on Thursday in 2 days, and then Friday they will begin their workouts. So spring training is upon us.
My favorite time of the year, baseball begins and the Cadbury chocolate eggs come out on the market.
Now there's a little trivia I did not know.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm glad you informed me of that. And now, you know, Philly Jeff probably knows that the Cadbury eggs come out on the market today, or this week.
He might be down in a few of those right now. I don't know.
All right, and just because it is the most wonderful time of the year, here we go, Jeff.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle belling and everyone.
All right, well, obviously that's Christmas, but it's the most wonderful time for us, because baseball is right around the corner. And by the way, do you recognize the voice on this song? Any idea?
Every time I hear that song, I picture the movie Home Alone.
No.
Yeah.
Well, Jeff, that was me. That's me. That's part of the McQuay Christmas album that I put out actually about I think 5, 6, 7 years ago, something like that.
Wow. Okay. Get a hold of that.
I will send you. I'll send you the files. Yeah, I'll send you the files.
Wow. Thank you.
Or
yes.
I guess I could throw it on a disc and just mail you the disc, but
yeah,
it's probably easier to just. Yeah, I can autograph that for you. You know what? That'll be an early Christmas present for you. I'll send that out.
Wow.
And it's mostly me, and my daughter sings on 3 of the songs. So it's just a fun little thing we did for family and friends. So I'll send you a copy of that.
Well, that'll play in the cold.
Yep. You'll be able to play that next Christmas and enjoy, just add that to your Christmas collection. All right.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little baseball. And we're not sure if Philly Jeff will call in or not today. And by the way, folks, if you're listening out there, please jump in. It is 323-410-0028 to join the conversation. And we're going to talk Orioles a bit, and but you can call in and talk about any team that is your favorite team, as spring training is right around the corner. And Jeff, we're going to talk about the Orioles starting rotation, but why don't we start off with this USA Today poll that you posted on Facebook yesterday, which is really kind of crazy. And, of course, there are all kinds of polls out there with different predictions of how things are going to go. I hadn't seen this one before. It's like almost completely opposite of other ones that I've looked at or heard about. So, but let's look at this USA Today. Now, any idea who came up with this one for USA Today? Do they know anything about baseball?
I think what they did, they got an intern out of the features department or the arts department, and stuck him in. And he put this together. I don't know, because nobody that I know of who has any baseball sense would have picked Boston to be first over Toronto or Baltimore to be last in this five American League East teams. I guess we should say that they're picking in order Boston with 88 wins first, Toronto finishing two games back, Tampa Bay finishing five games back. I have no idea why they did that, over New York and Baltimore. And New York is finishing five games back, and the Orioles 10 games.
Yeah, the Orioles, they have with a losing record this year, which I don't know. I mean, at this point, it seems ridiculous. But, you know, Jeff, not only that American League East, but I take issue with almost every division here. They have the White Sox winning the Central over the Royals, absurd, and Detroit down, you know, in fourth place, ridiculous. They have Houston winning. Now, Houston could win the West, but I'm not sure. Texas, the Rangers, that's actually, I think, going to be a really tough division with the Astros, the Rangers, the Angels, the Mariners, I think, will be better this year, and the Oakland A's. So that's kind of crazy. They have the Nats winning the East, which is stupid because the Nats just can't seem to ever put it together. And the Mets, my goodness, how do you not have the Mets winning the National League East? They've got the Cubs winning this NL Central. Well, that's possible, but what about the Cardinals? I mean, the Cardinals have been the team
Cardinals
to beat there in the Central.
Yeah, and they were during the regular season far and away the best team in baseball. I think it was a surprise to see them, you know, losing the playoffs.
Right, right. And then they've got the Giants winning the NL West. Well, that's possible, but I'm not sure that the Dodgers aren't the best team in that division. So it's got to take issue with just about every division that they've come up with. It's crazy to me. But let's go back to the American League East a little bit. Boston's probably going to be better. I mean, they were dead last year. I don't expect them to be dead last. They did sign David Price. That's going to help them, but that's not their only problem. The Blue Jays, I think, are still the team to beat right now. Tampa, they've got great pitching, but they have no hitting, and that's going to hurt them in the American League East. You got to be able to hit the ball. You can pitch, but you got to be able to hit because all the other lineups are going to challenge that very good pitching that they have. The Yankees will be better, and I think the Orioles will be better than 500 season from last year. And at this point, Jeff, there's still no news to report on Gallardo, but it looks like the Orioles are close to getting a job done with Giovanni Gallardo. Let's see. It says, as of Monday morning, this is yesterday, there wasn't any news of the Orioles' pursuit of free agent starter. So that leaves a question, but they're still saying on the Orioles' site that they're working hard to get a deal done with the Giovanni Gallardo, which would help. It would help.
And, you know, this guy, you know, the only knock I've heard on him is that his strikeouts have trended down the last few years. But I've got to say something. His fastball is still in the low 90s, and it's just that he's not depending on his fastball as much. He's not throwing his curveball. He's going to the slider. He's going to the changeup. His ERA has actually sunk in the last 2 years from right around 418 down to 342, which to me, he's becoming a smarter pitcher. And he still has that fastball, but he's not going to just lean on that fastball.
Right.
Good thing.
I don't, I mean, look, strikeouts are a nice thing, but even the big strikeout pitchers in history sometimes were just not on the end of winning teams and winning seasons. I don't really care so much about strikeouts. I think, as you pointed out, the ERA and probably his wins and loss record and maybe the walks category, those might be more important to me. So what if he pitches and players put the ball in play and they're ground balls or fly ball outs, they're still outs. I don't need the strikeouts in order to win games and win a championship.
Yeah. So I have a feeling that given the fact that he's going to a team that's going to give him some support offensively, and we talked about that
right.
a little bit last week.
Right.
But,
right.
That we're going to see, as far as a better record from him. The big one that I'm waiting for, and a lot of baseball people are waiting for, is a breakout season from Kevin Gausman.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is something that, and this is a guy who's been throwing up in the mid 90s. His career.
He's having to learn the major league game, and that's fine. I think he did learn a good bit last year, and in different ways in which they've utilized him. My biggest concern in the past has been the up and down and up and down and up and down in terms of the major league, minor league, sending him back and forth, that kind of thing. And hopefully that hasn't messed with his mind. And so this year we look for him to actually be a part of that starting rotation from the beginning of the season.
Right.
So that's good. Let's talk about, you've done a little research on the starters and you've got some stats and some thoughts. So why don't we go through them? Of course, can we start with Chris Tillman? We need to see a bounce back year from him. Obviously, last year was disappointing. So, what are your thoughts on Tillman?
Well, the last 2 years have concerned me, and his starts have always been up around 30, 32, 33 starts. His innings pitched have trended down the last couple of seasons, three seasons, from 207 down to 173. His wins have trended down from 16 to 13 to 11 now. And his strikeouts per nine innings, and this may be a little telling for him, they were 2 years ago 7.81 strikeouts per nine innings. Last year, 6.4. So about a strikeout and a half. There's been no changes. There's been no loss of velocity. He's relying slightly less on his curveball over the last couple of years. Maybe that's a problem. I don't know.
Now,
let
me interject there, Jeff. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with his battery partner. If we look at the last 2 years, we got to say that he's been without Matt Wieters most of that time. And I'm wondering if Matt calls a better game for Chris than does Joseph Kalem.
That's the name right at the top of my list is Matt Wieters, and with some question marks there. But, how much does that affect? Does Matt Wieters call for less curveballs from Tillman? I don't know. You know, maybe that's just that Wieters knows about Tillman or knows how to set up hitters that Caleb Joseph doesn't, you know, rely on with Tillman.
Right. Right. So that'll be very interesting to see, and hopefully Wieters is fully healthy now going forward,
yeah.
And he can be that starting day-to-day catcher with Caleb filling in when needed. But I'm wondering, you know, and that's the only kind of correlation that I can see based on what you're talking about, is that maybe it's the game plan and how the game is being called by the catcher. Now, you know, I think Joseph does look in and get signals from the dugout a good bit as to what they're going to call, but maybe Matt just has a better feel for what Tillman can do, and as you said, how he might set up the hitters given Tillman's arsenal. So hopefully Tillman has a bounce back year, and maybe that is correlated to Matt Wieters. So we'll see about that. All right, where do you want to go next in that starting rotation?
Well, you know, I just wanted to get back to Kevin Gausman, and you know, I guess the good things about Kevin, not only is he going to be there the whole year, his control is so good, his strikeouts to walks ratio is so good, mm-hmm. and also the fact that he gets those hitters to pop up as much mm-hmm. as he does.
Right. Right.
So I hope that I hope the you know, some of the predictions about him are right, and that would be a huge. I mean, this guy may have the ability to be a number one or a number two starter.
As we've said, I mean, Gausman. Let's hope that he has one of those breakout years and he figures out major league hitters and utilizes a good defense behind him and the bats, you know, come to his rescue as well. All right,
yeah.
Ubaldo Jimenez.
He was the next to get to. So this time last year, we were making Ubaldo jokes and everything mm-hmm. else. Talk about
Ubaldo.
Ubaldo.
Yep. What do you see for Ubaldo?
Wow. You know, the big thing with Ubaldo is he's gone off his slider a little more. He's gone to the split finger fastball, which really been a big help to him.
Mm-hmm.
Curveball has trended down slightly over the past four seasons. Biggest change is that split finger fastball. His strikeouts per nine innings up around 8.22, which is very good. I mean, and his walks, that's been huge for him.
Mm-hmm.
3 1/3 walks per nine innings,
mm-hmm.
and those kind of numbers, you're always going to do good. Home runs per nine, less than a home run per nine innings, and that was an area of concern for him. His
mm-hmm.
ERA is around 4, but a break or two that could be down below 4.
Yeah.
But he pitched 184 innings, which for mm-hmm. Orioles pitching with the kind of bullpen they have, 184 innings is a lot of innings.
And especially when you consider the last couple of years, the Orioles starting rotation has had a very slow start, and if you recall, we've been struggling to get starters through, you know, into the fifth inning and through five and try to pitch into the sixth inning. So just because they haven't been pitching well, and that's something else we can talk about, and hopefully they turn that around. You gotta You gotta come out and chew up innings before you can tax that that bullpen. All right, so Ubaldo.
If you can get Tillman and you know, maybe you know, see a breakout season from Kevin Gausman a year from Jimenez like he had last year, you've got a really good top three in your starting order.
Right. Okay, Miguel Gonzalez, he's also been was a disappointment last year, but he's been one of those kind of steady, unsung, consistent pitchers for the Orioles over the last few years. What are your thoughts on Miguel?
You know, again, you know, this is a guy who's, you know, I'm waiting for Miguel Gonzalez to put it together. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that, you know, there, like last year, there were times he looked unbeatable.
Right. He always.
And
he always has those. He always has those games throughout the season and those stretches where you think, yeah, man, this guy, he's it. And then he goes out and, you know, lays an egg, and he's a little bit streaky in that. And I'm not sure what happened to him last year. And if I'm not mistaken, Jeff, I think, and we'd have to go back and look at this, but I think he suffered from not getting a lot of run support last year as well as not being on top of his game.
And you know, perhaps, you know, if he gets a little more luck as far as the run support, and of course, you know, I think that the Orioles are going to be a better offensive team, hopefully better in the second half mm-hmm. than they were last. And that's going to be a huge help.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, sure. A little more confidence.
All right. And, you know, at this stage of the game, we've got Mike Wright as the fifth starter for the Orioles. Now, obviously, that could change drastically and would change drastically if the Orioles make a deal here and get Yovani Gallardo. And so we can talk about that in a second in terms of what the rotation might look like if that happens. But at this point, Mike Wright is penciled in as the fifth starter. Obviously, things can change during spring training. But Mike Wright's another guy that's had some flashes last year. He played in 12 games for the Orioles last year. And he was... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he pitched some innings. What are your thoughts on Wright?
He throws a four seamer. It tops out around the mid 90s. That could be a very good thing, but you know, his ERA obviously was high last year, 6.04.
Right. Right.
Yeah. That's a problem. You know, he's got a probably. He's probably got to be more in command as far as getting his, you know, second and third his setup pitches, you know. That
right.
95 mile an hour fastball would be very effective.
Right. Well, he's a young guy. He's 26 years old. He's a big guy, 6'6" and 215. If he could really figure out how to use that. That height, that weight, that power coming down off the mound. I mean, it's partly why his fastball is averaging right almost 95 miles an hour.
Sure.
But I guess he still needs to learn how to be a pitcher and particularly a major league pitcher. As you mentioned, the ERA at 6.04. So, you know, we'll see a little more maturation in the kid. Maybe he can work into that, starting rotation if the Orioles are not unable to make a deal, for Gallardo.
You know, if this guy gets, gets a good changeup, he could make a heck of a short man in the bullpen, you know, or a closer.
Yeah. What else? Let's see.
Limiting size.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned he throws the four-seam fastball. I'm trying to look at what other pitches does he have? Do we know?
Not really. I don't know what else he has or how much he. I think he relies on that fastball a little more. So.
You're gonna have to have more than a fastball to be a major league starter.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, because major league hitters can hit a fastball. So he's going to have to develop, you know, some other pitches, and a changeup. I guess to your point, Jeff, would be a start. You know, if you can get a good changeup, then you can fool batters, you know, with your fastball and your changeup. All right, so let's look at the prospect. Let's say that the Orioles make this deal for Giovanni Gallardo. Now you're looking at Tillman, Gausman, Jimenez, Gallardo, Gonzalez. Now I'm feeling a little bit better. But now, providing that Tillman turns it around, providing that Gonzalez turns it around, providing that Gausman is able to do what we think he can do. Those are a lot of ifs there.
There's a lot of questions. I mean, a lot of things have to go right, and that's one of the things I have a little trouble with. You know, too many things have to go right.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think, and I hope I'm correct in this, but I just feel like having a healthy Matt Wieters back there consistently is going to help that starting rotation.
Yes.
And I hope that's true. I really hope that's true. I hope that's what's been kind of missing for, you know, a Tillman and a Gonzalez over the past couple of years.
We have a couple of, we have what I like to think of as Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Bill Bundy and Hunter Harvey. And, coming in this year, again, you know, Matt Wieters handling them, wouldn't that be a nice thing if they could stay healthy and contribute to the parent club this year?
Right. Well, let's not forget that Dylan Bundy's contract calls for him to be on the major league team this year. So he's going to be an Oriole, and if he can stay healthy, he's got to be on the major league roster. So that'll be interesting to see what they do with him, because he's obviously a starting pitcher. But are they going to put him in the bullpen for a while, or how is that all going to shake out? So, but that's probably a good problem to have for Buck Showalter.
And, you know, if he's healthy, he's got his fastball's in the mid to upper 90s. And although he's not quite there yet because of the elbow surgery, his curve and his changeup are good. When he's 100%,
right.
You know, he's got the command. He's got the, you know, he's got three pitches. I mean, he's, you know, he should be, if he's healthy, he should give the Orioles a lot of good innings.
Yeah.
And Hunter Harvey is in there as a, right now he's in there as a non-roster invitee. Which, by the way, I think Xavier Avery is back as a non-roster invitee this year. So that was a name from the past, recent past.
Right, right.
But
right.
Hunter
all
Harvey's
right.
actually ranked number one. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. We're just the clock's just running down. That's all.
Oh, okay. We've got a couple
Jeff,
of.
There's, finish your thought. Finish
okay,
your
well,
thought.
We got Odorous Mar de España, Odorous Mar de España, that's right. And although I cannot say his name right yet, he's got a strange little curveball that he throws with his fingers crossed.
Huh.
And this thing has a strange, it's like an Ephus pitch almost. And it offsets some of his other pitches. So, he might, in fact, he has a bunch of pitches. He's sort of like a Mike Cuellar on the staff. He used to throw a whole lot of different pitches and different versions of the same pitch.
Right.
So that might be interesting if he comes in the middle of the game and gives the batter something different to look at.
Right.
We have Christopher Lee back from the dead. He's 23 years old. And he's another one. He came from the Astros, and he might pan out. I mean, we've got a lot of possibilities here for someone coming in here and doing the job.
Yeah. So, they just need a chance, you know. They need a shot, and some of these guys are going to get it, and hopefully they'll be up to the challenge. So we'll see. But it all starts in 2 days. Well, 3 days technically. They don't actually get on the field until Friday. So, but this week, and games are just a couple of weeks away. March 1st, I think, is the first spring training game against the Braves. There's a lot to be excited about and look forward to. And man, Jeff, there's a lot that we got to talk about as far as this Orioles squad and how things are going to shape up. We talked about pitchers today. Next week maybe we'll look at some of the position players, and the depth chart right now looks kind of interesting at some positions. So maybe we can look at that in the future. But for now, it is the most wonderful time of the year. Baseball is about to start. Yeah. You know?
All right.
Well, it's Christmas for us.
Yeah.
All right, Jeff. Hey, we're out of time. So have a great week, and I hope the snow melts out there. And we'll talk some more hot stove baseball next week, and hopefully the Orioles have made some deals for Gallardo and maybe Dexter Fowler, and who knows what else.
All
so,
right.
Always good to talk with you, and have a great week. We'll talk again next week, Jeff.
Take care, Rob.
All right, and it is the most wonderful time of the year, folks. Baseball right around the corner, and we'll see you again next week with more Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Have a great one.
It's a most wonderful time of the year. There'll be much mistletoeing and hearts.
Thanks for listening to Baltimore Sports Talk here on MQFL Live on the blogtalkradio.com network. Join us again next week as we explore Baltimore sports.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Company Computer Guy.
Mr. Company Computer.
You are the ruler of the RAM, the guru of the gigabyte, the monster of the memory.
Show me the way.
When we screw up the boot up, you are there. Without you, computers would megabyte.
Megabyte.
The countless hours we spend surfing the internet and accidentally stumbling upon porn sites would instead be spent working. So crack open an ice-cold Bud Light, Mr. Company Computer Guy. For it's you who keeps our logons logging and our hard drives hard.
You gotta see this porn site.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.